All right. Well, it goes back a ways. My first taste of improv occurred in 2000 when I lived in San Diego. I found it when I was in a sort of a dark place. I had just suffered a devastating professional setback. I was very socially isolated in San Diego, no friends. I was looking through whatever they call the city paper. I was flipping through it, and I saw this thing for comedy sports. And I was like, oh, yeah, I kind of know what improv is from seeing Whose Line Is It Anyway. I need something fun to do. All right, so let me tell you, let me back up a little further than that. So I was in San Diego because I also was in the Navy. I was an ensign, which is a brand new Navy officer, the butter bars, the gold bars. And I had managed to get into a place that a lot of people thought was pretty unlikely. I was there to train to be a Navy SEAL. And I had devoted the previous 4 or 5 years of my life to this singular goal. When I started college, I was in the ROTC program. And I was a very unlikely looking person to be doing something like that 4 years later. I was pretty bookish and nerdy. I hadn't really worked out or anything like that. But I had gotten a real life, honest to God revelation when I received the acceptance letter. Wow, okay, I'm going to be a Navy officer. I'm going to be a Navy SEAL. And it's very competitive to do that as an officer. So all through college, I devoted my whole life to it. My last name is Sobelski. I actually, at one point, had earned the nickname Sealbelski. I was so dedicated to this goal. Okay, so SEAL training occurs on Coronado Island, which is just off of San Diego. And I was there for about 2 months. It was extremely difficult, very grueling, but not in a way maybe that you're thinking of the way a movie would be. It was super hard, physically taxing. And to be honest with you, I was not keeping up. I was not doing well. I had trained really hard, but I wasn't doing the right things. I was doing a lot of running, and I should have been doing more weightlifting. I should have been doing more swimming. And the thing that's really hard about SEAL training is you're always being timed, or that you're always having to beat the time that you did last week. Running on the beach with boots, going through the obstacle course, open ocean swims, all kinds of crazy stuff. And usually everyone in the class is bad at one of those things and good at one of them. But for me, I was just getting worse every week. And being an officer, there weren't that many officers to begin with. All the other officers were guys that knew each other from the Naval Academy. I was like this ROTC guy. It was very difficult. So the time came when my class was about to start Hell Week, which is sort of the famous ordeal that occurs during SEAL training when like 70% of the people quit. And even though things were looking bad for me, you know, the thing that had pushed me along in college through all this stuff was, this idea that if you work really hard, if you try hard, and you don't give up, you will succeed in anything you want to do. Which that is true, you know, as far that is, you, it's not a bad thing to think. I'm not saying don't think that. Wow, sometimes I feel like I'm right back in this room. Okay, when I started this journey, I had a lot of encouragement from some really amazing people, my heroes, people like my father, who had been a Green Beret in Vietnam. And, he introduced me to a lot of other people like that, both in the books in his library, and then his friends were like real-life heroes from that era and other eras. And they, looking back on it, I think like they really encouraged me also, because they recognized qualities in me that I didn't know, I didn't see that I had at the time. All right, so I still thought I'm not gonna quit. I'll make it. Well, one day right before going to Hell Week, they pulled me out of the line. Instead of getting my medical inspection, I went into this office room. There's like a table, guys sitting around the table, and it was just very brief, formal administrative proceeding telling me I've been dropped from training. And that's the first time I've never experienced something like, I never imagined, I didn't know fainting was a real thing. in my mind, when I say faint, I thought it was like a Gone with the Wind, sort of But actually, it's a thing called psychogenic shock. And it's what happens when you receive a terrible shock. And I had never failed at anything before. I didn't know there was some fine print to that story about never give up, you'll reach your dreams. So I sort of staggered. Fortunately, I was able to maintain my military composure and didn't fall apart or anything like that. But what happened was, so that day I went home, I took off my combat fatigues, and the next day I put on my khaki uniform, and I just looked like, Tom Cruise from A Few Good Men. I thought I was going to be this, like, super commando guy, going to go through a crucible of personal transformation to become a fearsome warrior. But instead, I was, like, reporting for duty, doing, like, paperwork and things like that. And on top of that, I was ejected into the world of, into San Diego. It turns out I had injured my shoulder in training, and I had to stay in San Diego and get surgery and stuff. So I had a lot of free time on my hands, which is why I took the improv class. Okay, so that was short form improv, which is like really fun, lots of games, lots of action, intensity, excitement. And I took the class with a bunch of really cool people, and they liked it so much that the teacher said, hey, our main stage troupe is a little short on people. How about you guys join the main stage troupe? And so all of a sudden, in my mind, seemingly like 6 weeks, probably 6 or 8 weeks after I almost fainted in front of a bunch of people, I was doing improv three times every weekend. I like instantly had this group of best friends. We were having the most fun, amazing time. And I did that for the whole year. I was getting surgery, recovering. I actually did improv with a sling for a while, which is a little kind of weird. Okay, so fast forward, I reinvented myself in the Navy as a cryptology officer, got to do pretty cool spy stuff around the world, and that's how I ended up stationed at Fort Meade. And I got to Fort Meade, moved to Baltimore, same situation. Here I am in another city, I don't know anybody, I'm isolated, all the people I was working with were like older than me, and plus they were like way out in, Howard County and stuff. So no, I'm just saying, like there wasn't anybody proximate to me that I could hang out with that was in my same situation. So I thought, all right, well, the improv thing kind of worked out. And I just thought, well, maybe other people would want to do improv in Baltimore, because it was so fun. It was such an awesome community to be in San Diego. And I remember I was talking on the phone to one of my friends who was a teacher, and she said, well, you could just get PowerPoint and just kind of like make a little flyer. And she kind of walked me through this was the state of the art of desktop layout, making a flyer. And I'm going to tell you right now, it had clip art with the tragedy and comedy masks. And it was like, call this number or email me, and had the little things that you cut. I cut the little, right? And this was before Facebook, so just the only like online thing I did was I put something on Craigslist. And so about people started writing back like right away. Like, there was a lot of interest in that. I for two weekends I like went out on my bike and put the flyers up in coffee shops and stuff, and that was it. So people immediately were into it. I got such an amazing, welcoming, positive vibe from Baltimore. The first show that we did, so we just started like having people come to my house, and the first show we did was at the 2640 space in Charles Village. And I remember it was like very important to me that we have good lighting at that show. And by the way, I think of the people in big now, I think Heather was there. I think that's right. Yep. All right. So that's how far back Heather goes. So I drove down to this Baltimore stage lighting that's by BWI Airport, and I got these like huge metal things. Like I was like the rigger or the roadie for that show, and it kind of snowballed from there. And a funny thing happened. When I was in the Navy, I never really got to have the experience of being a leader. Like, I was always in positions where I had a lot, like a cool title, but I didn't have like any actual authority or responsibility. And there would be days where I would stay home from the Navy. I would take a day off so I could do paperwork for the improv group, like filing the 501c3 or, just writing, just stuff like that, the things you do when you tend to an organization. And I really liked it. It was joyful to me. Creating something, seeing something that, like, seeing other people believe in something and together having it engendering a new organization out of nothing is pretty magical. And I realized, like, that is why those guys were encouraging me to be a Navy SEAL. They thought that's why I wanted to be in the military. That was the crucible I was hoping to experience. I was experiencing it already. And that, like, the love and support and fun that I encountered in Baltimore in the arts community, not just the improv people, Megan Hamilton at the Creative Alliance giving us a shot, whoever the person at the Baltimore Office of Promotion of the Arts is that said, we're going to book this Baltimore improv group, we're going to give them the main headlining slot on Saturday night of Artscape. You know, that was a really, really big deal for us. All that stuff, those are very essential parts of being an entrepreneur. And it's what gave me the courage to, after 7 years in the Navy, to retire and become a startup guy and start tech companies. Because I just, once you see that happen, it is just so electric and awesome. And I really, I guess, the best parts probably were directing and coaching and, like, really working with people on stage, and actually getting to be a leader, like the leader that I had trained to be in ROTC and, you know, my father who prepared me to be. And so, although, you know, Jessica introduced me as the founder, and I'm always a little bit uncomfortable with that title. Because I feel like I just did this one little thing right at the beginning, which is I'm the guy that you know, made the flyers. So it's true that what's really true to say more than anything else is that the Baltimore Improv, it's really true, the Baltimore Improv Group founded me. Thank you.